Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Our subject today is about Father, our Father. And the Bible text is from Matthew 6, verse 9, where it says, pray like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Amen. Mm-hmm. Many people in this world do not have a father. Many have a father who is ill-treating the family. My father, he didn't talk much. He had been ill-treated as a youngster and still suffered from the scars. When I heard that God is our father, it didn't move me. I couldn't relate to him as a father. I knew Jesus, he was my friend, and I could relate to him. Like many other Christians, I was taught that we should pray to Jesus. I didn't know that this is not biblical. The Bible teaches that we should not pray to Jesus, we should pray to God the Father in the name of Jesus. This past is vastly unknown because many have bad fathers and don't want to pray to a father. I have to relearn my prayer language. I've traveled to many countries, I stayed with many different families, I learned what a father is by observing those with whom I stayed. Today I know that my Heavenly Father loves me and cares for me. Jesus was teaching a lot about the Father. He never said God or El Shaddai or Adonai or anything like this. He said God Father, my Father. In Matthew 5:45, that it says that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Then in Matthew 5:48, therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. These are only two of hundreds of times when Jesus spoke about his Father, our Father, or your Father. Our belief is in the Trinity. We believe in the Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three who are one, yet each has its own ministry. There is no religion in the whole world where they call their gods Father. To understand why we call God Father, we have to know first of all, what is a Father? A father, a dad, or a daddy in the male is the male parent of the child. Besides the paternal bonds of a father to his child, fathers may have a parental, legal, and social relationship with the child. They carry certain rights and obligations. A biological father is the male genetic contributor to the creation of a child. A biological father may have legal obligations to a child that is not raised by him, but he is obligated to pay with money and support. A putative father is a man whose biological relationship to a child is alleged but has not been established. A stepfather is a non-biological male parent married to a child's parent and forms a family unit. He does not have any legal rights, no responsibilities of a parent in relation to the child. An adoptive father is a man who has become the child's parent through legal process of adoption. God, good fathers, see to it that their children can develop and progress. They give whatever the children need to achieve. Active fathers these may play a role in reducing behavior and psychological problems such as young adults. An increased amount of fathers and child involvement may help increase a child's social stability, educational achievement, and their potential to have a solid marriage once they have grown up. Their children may also be more curious about the world around them and develop greater problem-solving skills. Children who were raised with fathers perceive themselves to be more cognitively and physically competent than their peers who have no fathers. Mothers raising children together with a father, reported that they have less severe disputes with their children. The father figure is not always a child's biological father, and some children will have a biological father as well as a stepfather or a nurturing father. When we say God is our father, we see many similarities. God is our father, we are his children. Besides his bonds of a father, as a father God to us, his children, he has a legal and social relationship with us. As a father, he has certain rights. As his children, we are under his rule. He is our biological father, not a stepfather. He cares for us and wants communication with us. Fellowship with God is not our idea, it's God's idea. When we fellowship with God, we fulfill our responsibility. But the more we fellowship with him, the more we fall in love with God, with our Father. As an active father, he reduces behavior and psychological problems. The best therapy for mind and psyche is to be in fellowship with our God. The more time we spend in God, the more we will increase our social stability and educational achievement. As believers, with a close relationship with the Father, we will achieve more than others. Our outlook is better, we are more positive and not negative. Therefore, a real Christian has greater potentials than others, even though that is often overlooked. As a child with a father connection, I have more personal self-worth. My sins are forgiven, and I know who I am. If you apply for a job and they reply that they found somebody who is more qualified for this position, you can say they don't know what they miss. My father is the greatest. When people develop new things and technologies, they can produce something from what already exists. They may modify it, but they cannot make something out of nothing. My father, he can. He can make something out of nothing. He said, "Let there be light, and light was." He is a creator, not of things that exist, but things that do not exist. We became his children, even if we were different at our physical birth. He has adopted me as his child with the full rights as a biological child. In John 1:12, it says, "But to all who receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." In Romans 8:16 and 17, it says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." The Bible gives ample evidence that as believers, we are children of God. If we are children, then he is our father. As such, we became heirs of God. Whatever belongs to me, belongs to me. Therefore, I cannot have poverty. Not all children are faithful and trustworthy. History has shown many who killed their fathers. Takuti Ninuta, an Assyrian king, was killed by his own son after sacking Babylon in the year 1274 Christ. Sennacherib, an Assyrian king, was killed by his two sons for his desecration of Babylon. We can even read this in the Bible, in the second book of Kings, chapter 19, verse 37. King Kazepa, creator of Sivriya citadel of ancient Sri Lanka, killed his father, King Duzena, for the throne. Emperor Yang of Sui, a Chinese history, allegedly killed his father, Emperor Wen of Sui. Iasus, the first of Ethiopia, one of the great warrior emperors of Ethiopia, was deposed by his son Tekle Haimanot in the year 1706, and subsequently he was assassinated. In more recent years, we heard of more instances of father murders. We may hear about such things without emotion. Or maybe we say, "Oh, that is terrible." But what about us? If we ignore the commands of our father, aren't we father murderers? If we reject him, aren't we father murderers? If we say, "What the Bible says is not important for me," aren't we father murderers? Jesus took up this subject and scolded the religious leaders. In Matthew 15, verse 4 to 6, says, "For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father and mother." Let us not be father murderers, but let us be father worshippers. Hebrews 13:15, it says, "Therefore by him let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Paul wrote, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom all fatherhood in heaven and earth is named." In the New Testament, although God remains holy and majestic in our eyes, Jesus adds a striking, clear emphasis on God as Father, both His Father and our Father. It is Jesus who calls God Abba, Father. It is Jesus who teaches us to pray to God as our Father. It is the Spirit of the Son who leads us in intimacy with God as our own Abba, Father. Now we know that as our Father, God cares for us and provides for us. As our Father, He hears and answers our prayers. As our Father, He disciplines us. As our Father, He receives us and forgives us and rejoices when in repentance we come back home to Him. That God, the Father, God the Father has made Himself God our Father. God the Father has become God our Father. That means He's personally, emotionally, and even sacrificially involved in us. The greatest glory of God, therefore, is not that He is separate, far beyond us. The greatest glory of God is that the one who is separate and far beyond us, who is high and lifted up, who created all things and needs nothing, that glorious God also chose to become our Father, lovingly adopting us as His own children forever. To those who are in Christ, the Holy God is a loving Father. We belong to His family. We may approach Him with fear, without fear, and always be sure of His fatherly concern and care. This is the heart of the New Testament message, the fatherly love of God to us as His children.